Hello, Gemini, and welcome to all of us here, your 2021 annual reading from Planet Waves. My name is Eric Francis Coppolino, your astrologer, for the next hour or so. Welcome to your reading. We'll let that crowd sound effect. That's actually not a sound effect. I actually was there and recorded that in November. An experience in New York State where a lot of people got together to study biology. I was calling it the biology underground. That's what a radical meeting is. It used to be to, you know, discuss the revolution or socialism or something like that. And now we get together and talk about holistic health and biology and risk being rated, having a conversation about our bodies. Very interesting times, huh? So, for your sign or rising sign, the emphasis of the sky has shifted into air sign Aquarius, which is your ninth solar house, or ninth house if you are using your natal chart and you are Gemini rising. And this is about bringing out a facet of your purpose, personality, perhaps even soul mission that is inherent in who you are. And I think a very significant attribute of your sign, which is this unusual relationship you have to concepts of a religious nature. Now, when I say that, I don't just mean like, you know, Islam or Hinduism or something like that. I mean the part of the mind that is seeking answers, the part of the mind that is seeking contact with its source, because we all know we come from somewhere, and where we find that source is metaphorically, right, not literally, because the whole astrology chart, the whole astrological game is a metaphor. And in this metaphor, you have Aquarius on your ninth house. And what that is suggesting is that there's this very natural tendency you have for the part of your mind that seeks answers and the part of your mind that seeks the source of its consciousness in humanity itself. So one thing that I really have never seen discussed in philosophy or even in spirituality is this tendency humans have toward religiosity, toward making up a set of rules and guidelines and mapping out their alleged origin and then basing a whole bunch of rules on that and a version of ethics or so-called ethics, depending on what we're talking about. And these come in as many styles as there are signs in the zodiac. Each sign has a different placement on its ninth house. And for everyone, regardless of astrology, there's this meaning piece that people are trying to fulfill. And usually what happens is, well, you have a choice. The meaning piece can be something that you encounter on a quest, a challenge, right, a journey, or aspire to a vision, all of which count as being part of the ninth house. And the other main option is to just accept what you're told, to accept easy answers, to be placated in some way. A simple, seemingly logical lie being more interesting to most people than a complicated search for the truth. Those are difficult, and there's tremendous uncertainty involved, and that translates to very few real, fully determined, conscious, concrete answers, right? I think that in the spiritual quest, one of the most important things we can do is have good questions and work on developing those questions. All of this in your chart is framed around the sign Aquarius. And this is a very interesting sign to have in this placement. It reminds me of the Carole King song about believing in humanity. Let's see if I can find those words. Carole is an Aquarius and is one of the highest, an example of one of the highest manifestations of Aquarian consciousness. And while you personally are not an Aquarius, although you may be Aquarius rising, this part of your consciousness in the map of astrology where you seek the truth is merged with Aquarius. And so this is a pretty high part of your chart, right? This is a place where you are seeking reality and the reality of yourself and the truth about what you're doing here. Let me see if I can find those words. Okay, that was easy. And what album is this on? Okay, so here you go. Carole writes, "If you read the papers, you may see history in the making. You'll read what they say life is all about. They say it's there for the taking. Yeah, but you should really check it out if you want to know what's shaking. But don't tell me about the things you've heard. Maybe I'm wrong, but I want to believe in humanity. I know it's often true, sad to say, we have been unkind to one another. Tell me how many times the golden rule has been applied by man to his brother. I believe if I recall, looked at what's going on, missing word there, I would lose faith. I would never recover. So don't tell me about the things you've heard. Maybe I'm wrong, but I want to believe in humanity." So from my point of view, which is all you ever get with astrology, right? You get the astrologer's point of view, right? There's no objective reading of the chart. I try my best, though. But from my point of view, what this is saying is that your religion is you want to believe in humanity. You don't need fancy theology. You don't need complicated hierarchies of angels and archangels and devils and God and stuff like this. You need to have faith in people. Now, there is a challenge here with Aquarius because it is possible that another property of Aquarius could take over for you, and that is the property to be to have the beliefs of other people imposed upon you. This is one of the most challenging properties of Aquarius, which is this struggle to be an individual, to live your truth on your terms or get squashed. And this can apply to anything. And one of the things that Aquarius is inherently about, and that you would, as a consequence, tend to invest your faith in, is science. The problem with science right now is that it has lost any sense of its purpose being the quest for truth and has gotten itself rather stuck in the notion of whatever it says is true. And so when we talk about the most philosophical house, the ninth, it then becomes clear, at least in one, I think, somewhat obvious interpretation, that you must seek your own truth. And you must seek your own truth, whether or not that is popular. The thing about anything involving the dominant paradigm, the dominant psychological, emotional, spiritual paradigm of society, is that it tends to crush the individual quest for truth, right? We can, there's not that many saints, right? And we can count on one hand the number of people who have challenged the religious concept of their era, whatever that might be, and succeeded at doing so. Most of the time, people are looking to be accepted and looking to conform. And so the movement of Saturn and Jupiter into your ninth house is going to bring all of that right out to the front of your life. And so it therefore is necessary for you to be fully conscious of what you believe and why you believe it. You are entitled to fact check any spiritual, religious, or scientific, and for that matter, any allegedly humanitarian concept. One of the things going on in the world is a lot of things are being done in the name of humanitarianism, when in fact all they're really doing is tearing people's lives to shit. But as long as it's painted white or green or whatever color is going around these days, pink, purple, is to challenge this. And so part of your kind of spiritual journey, right? I mean, and why else are we interested in astrology, really? Part of your spiritual journey is this thing about finding your own truth despite the prevailing idea of what is true. And once you're on that journey, it becomes very important to challenge everything and to know the difference between when you believe something and when you know and understand something. Currently, that very important distinction is getting washed over as if it doesn't even exist. People think that to believe something is to be in contact with and possession of the absolute cosmic truth of something. I don't really like the concept of hope, but one possibility for Saturn and Jupiter in Aquarius is that there will be some added respect for understanding what is true in terms of the steps to getting there, to not simply believe that something can, for example, be the product of science without there having been the proper experiments to get there. And so this is this Aquarius placement in your ninth is one of the most pragmatic approaches to the nature of reality, because it does not involve authoritarian claims of what is supposed to be, but rather you are given permission and encouraged, in fact, to go on your own quest for the truth, to actually find out what it is that you need to know, and to not be satisfied with easy answers. Now, this has a few different phases. We've just begun the Aquarian era. There was a brief foray of Saturn into Aquarius that was extant for about 3 months in the spring. I don't think it went very well. It was associated with all the lockdowns. And now that you know, Saturn has returned back to Aquarius. Once again, society is practicing this concept that, in effect, martial law is the way to take care of a health issue. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's a strange concept, and I think we all deserve to know what's going on underneath that. And one of the things I can tell you that's going on underneath that is this belief structure that has been imposed, and that belief structure is being used against people, and it's dividing people against one another. And you are on a quest for your own personal understanding and validation. And so one of the understanding, validation of what you figure out, and also to have disproven anything that is not true. So it is vitally important that you embrace being proven wrong as a positive step in your growth. Most people are not interested in this. Most people's egos are way too prideful and attached to being right to even question what they believe, even to recognize that it's a belief. I mean, even the moment somebody recognizes something is a belief, they are on the way to questioning it. So one stage of this journey goes through the first half of the year, Jupiter through Aquarius, and you'll have a kind of a quick world tour of all that's possible and all the incredible power of your mind to focus the concept of reality for yourself. So this is the kind of fun, introductory, easier phase of this. While that's going on, Saturn is gradually making its first foray into deeper into Aquarius. So it went a couple of degrees in the spring, and now it's going to go out to about in this run. Let's see. I know this is not a central point, but while I'm talking dates, I may at least look that up and then get the get it written into the chart, because I'll use all the charts for all the signs, potentially. Station. Saturn goes retrograde. Okay, Saturn goes retrograde on May 23rd. Right about when Jupiter goes into Pisces. So this first, it's actually 5 months of the year. Saturn retrograde. 5/23/21. These first 5 months of the year are a new stage of the grand experiment. And one thing that I suggest you do with these first few months of 2021 is to exercise your freedom any way that you can, and feel how good it feels to be free and to be able to move around the planet. If any position in the entire world describes wanderlust, it is Jupiter in the ninth house. The desire to get out of where you are and to see the world, and also to encounter a wide diversity of approaches to seeking the truth, and to practice your quest and your personal responsibility, indicated by Saturn, to seek the truth in your way based on as much knowledge and experience as is possible. So Saturn will be in Aquarius till March of 2023, when it crosses your midheaven. It will enter Pisces. You'll get a little bitty taste of what it's like to have your 10th house activated in late May. That's a turning point for you when Jupiter gets there, but Saturn is going to take another approximately 2 years and 3 months from the time that I'm recording to get there. And when that's all done, then Pluto enters Aquarius in March of 2023, late March of 2023, and really drives home this whole question of the personal quest for truth, because Pluto is working on a much deeper level than Saturn and Jupiter. But Saturn and Jupiter are the warm-up, and Pluto is really going to push the issue of right and wrong. It's going to push the issue of ethics, and in particular, the ethics of this total imposition of not technology, but technocracy, of a kind of a world government by technology. And so as part of your personal quest for truth, I would propose that the technology question be right up front, that you question the dominant paradigm, which is in many ways what Aquarius represents, the dominant paradigm of the sort of technological ethos of our era. We are living in an era where technology is considered God. People don't call it God, but they act like it's God. They act like anything that is done by a computer programmer, anything that is done by any technocrat, is coming straight from God. And I have noticed quite a few computer programmer types who have a kind of a hubris around this, and who think that because the world is all kind of oriented in their direction right now, that they can suspend their ethics, that there's no such thing as right and wrong, that the existence of artificial intelligence, for example, means that we must impose it wholesale on the planet without people's permission. A very serious problem. And so what is interesting is that for you, some of the most serious ethical issues of our era fall in where the astrology is playing out, falls into your ninth house, which is the house where you search for your personal ethics and where you ground your spirituality in your concept of the higher self, whatever form that may take. Now, in this segment, since we're talking about Jupiter and Saturn, I want to review, I didn't want to begin with this, I wanted to begin with a look at what's possible, and in a sense, your spiritual marching orders, if you choose to accept them, which, is always optional, and then there are consequences for doing so or not doing. However, before the ninth house is the eighth house. And what you have been through the past few years has really pushed your faith in people. And it's one reason why it's so crucial that you embrace the challenge of faith in humanity as a top order of priority on your spiritual path, and indeed your whole life purpose. So the ninth is about this inquiry into what is true. It is philosophically oriented. It is therefore oriented in religion, which is the most dominant form of, let's say, unquestioned philosophy. It's also the house of worldly culture, of exploring, and of things exotic. The house before that has got a whole different flavor, color, and feeling tone. And that is the eighth, and there you have Capricorn. And though what I'm about to describe has in some way been going on since early 2008, things really came to a head starting in late 2017, about 9 years later. In late 2017, Saturn entered Capricorn. And Saturn's ingress into Capricorn activated your eighth house, and your eighth house, the eighth in general, is about relationships where resources are exchanged. So that usually includes sex and money, and usually sex for the purpose of procreation, that is to say, providing an heir to someone, and money in terms of legacy, inheritance, what's it called? Dowry, the money given by someone's father or grandfather for the upkeep of the bride, and in a sense, investing in the new son-in-law to bring him into the family and the family business, and to make sure the woman is taken care of and all that crap. That's going on in the eighth house. And with Capricorn in the eighth house, you have this whole scenario about how the family has a lot of power. Now, wherever you're at in life, whatever you've been through, whatever wherever your journey has taken you, there is a chance you have figured this out, and there is a chance you have worked this out to some degree. However, just speaking generally, to have Capricorn on the 8th means a lot of family baggage, and it means a lot of family business. And therefore, the 8th can have that feeling of family having a lot of power over you. Now, I've been tracking these transits through Capricorn for Gemini for many years, and so there'll be at least three or four previous annual editions where I take apart these issues. If you can't navigate back to them, just let me know. But I've had a lot to say about this in weekly horoscopes and in monthly horoscopes, and I've been making this ongoing commentary about how you can get your freedom from these people who seem to have no interest in oppressing or even owning you. So in a way, you have had a fight for your independence and your autonomy from people who have had some form of an agenda, and it is not strictly family. It's everything that has the let's say the energetic signature of family, or it copies family issues. That includes corporate workplaces, and it includes all matters related to taxes and estates. And so it is possible that you have had some dramas in the eighth house. The eighth can, if you're not really careful, and even if you are, the eighth can be easily subject to dramas, and the dramas are always going to be some form of a survival drama, a death drama, a money drama, a resources in the relationship drama. And it is essential to do the work of the eighth house in any lifetime, and the work of the eighth house, as far as I'm concerned, is about learning how to take possession of yourself and learning how to have it not be that others are in any way in possession of some portion of you or your soul or your identity, or have any undue control over your life. And very few people get there. Most humans on this planet spend their lives dealing with the experience of being controlled by other people. And this is one of the huge dramas of our lifetimes. And any time it seems to get better, it only ends up turning around and getting worse. And so one of the things that we have been dragged into, thanks to Capricorn in astrology, is this huge drama over resources and truth that seems to have begun in early 2020 with the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in Capricorn. That's happening in your eighth house makes it quite personal to you. And it's possible there have been some profound personal dramas that have involved you somehow seeking your freedom from anything that would pretend to own you or in some way claim any form of property rights over you. And while there remains work to be done in this house, it is, I would say, probable that you have taken some very large steps, or at least noticed the nature of your dilemma, noticed how it is that people end up getting power over you. I mean, isn't that interesting that that happens? That you've noticed, at least noticed, that this happens, and you may have even figured out that you are not interested in it. And it is further probable that you actually made some stride in 2020 to get past that, and that you have given yourself permission to be a more independent and autonomous and free person. And I would suggest that a rule for you going forward is to never in any way, shape, or form allow someone to own you or to control your money or to have any undue influence over your sexuality. All of these things have to be entirely your possession. You need to be entirely your possession. And we see positive signs of you're having figured this out, and possibly you're even having gone there. And those include the movement of two major planets out of Capricorn and a wrap-up of the events of 2020 and new territory having been entered. But the thing is, it's very important that you be able to hold the space of that new territory rather than doing any backsliding there, right? It's easy to go back, challenging to go forward. Segment. I want to begin by talking about relationships, which we touched upon some of the challenges of those in the last segment, and then, but dovetail that together. So there have been there are a few signs for whom the relationship thing has been as challenging as it has been for all things Gemini, all people Gemini or rising and potentially moon. And the reason for this has been several things, but in the past 5 years or so, the presence of Saturn in your relationship houses. So about 5 years ago, Saturn entered Sagittarius, your opposite sign. And then in late 17, it entered Capricorn, another relationship sign. And it happens that Sagittarius and Cap are not the easiest signs for relationships. But Sag in particular is a difficult placement for Saturn. And then Saturn, again through the 8th, though it's in rulership in Capricorn, is challenging. But the challenge right up to and including the total eclipse that took place in mid-December in Sag have been about clearing out space for yourself. And so the difficulty with relationships relates to an advantage that you have had, which has been making room, clearing out situations, people, things, and clearing the environment in such a way that you have cultivated a kind of availability. This is an important way to be. I think it's an important way to be even when someone is in some form of committed relationships and committed business partnerships. There has to be some part of you that is available at least to have a conversation. And I think at this stage, you have a lot more than a little. There's another, but only if you say so, right? And there's another theme of the way in which family values, family, and I don't mean like Nancy Reagan, but family values in terms of the values of your family have had a way of being imposed on you. And so there's been some process of making yourself independent from the values of other people. And one of the most oppressive situations we can find ourselves in is when we have to be entirely responsive to others. And then there are times when others think little of imposing power and doing things by force and other assertive, aggressive, or coercive means. All that is possibly manifested for you and created a situation where it was hard to find the basis that a relationship could exist upon. And this is an important thing, the basis of the relationships that that you're in. Now, one thing about you is that you like to live in a large world. You like to live in a world where there's a lot of possibilities and where people honor their own need to be free beings. And that is, it is difficult to find that because most people do not, as we're seeing right now, have place any value at all on their freedom or their need to be free beings. And Saturn is going to complicate that and make it seem like, who's really interested? And so the good part is that this drama is in many ways behind you. There are elements that will remain, except that those elements are going to be fairly easy to spot because you're going to have a kind of identikit where people start to take on roles that that remind you of your family of origin. They remind you of your relatives. They remind you potentially of past situations, and you want to make sure that you are clear what you don't want. And it is difficult to choose things that are new because things that you've chosen in the past are things that you're, first of all, there was a reason for it, and there was some pre-existing pattern. And what I'm suggesting here is that when you see examples of those pre-existing patterns, that you evaluate people very carefully, and that if there are any holdover situations that resemble this, that resemble the layers of patterns from the past, that you address that. Because you are in entirely new territory. You have made it through kind of a series of initiations, what could honestly be called an odyssey, and now you're suddenly in a whole new place if you can stabilize yourself there, and I think it's quite possible that you will do so. And so what I suggest the basis of your relationships be is a philosophical understanding of what your life is about. There's a lot of different reasons people have relationships. Sadly, most of them involve karma. They don't involve actual attraction or having an affinity, and sometimes don't even involve liking people. You see a lot of relationships with people who don't like each other. And you need to like the people that you're with, but mostly you need to have an affinity for them. And I would suggest that the true basis of your relationships be friendships. There are a lot of ways to organize an association with a person, and all relationships come with some form of expectation and commitment. And I would suggest that the best possible ground that you can stand on is something about equality and something about a mutual understanding of what life is about. And you know, you might think, well, of course, that's the way that that all relationships are. Isn't that what everyone does? Well, actually, no, it's not what everyone does. And there are a lot of troubling things about the ways that people engage one another, no pun intended, in relationships. And your natural tendency is to want to have very fixed and stable bonds. And I'm suggesting that that is the thing that has changed over the past 5 years, that you need a loose way of relating to people where there is not this, expectation of matrimonial intensity. This is a way that we are all conditioned to be in relationships, and it's getting old. And I think that we humans need more freedom and more flexibility in our relationships, and we need more level ground in our relationships. And in particular, and this is all applies to you quite strongly, the idea of possession of another person be simply out of the question. And that would be any form of formal possession, like marriage vows that imply ownership of a person, particularly some exclusive ownership of a person. That doesn't happen. All that leads to is mayhem and misery. And then further, that the philosophical basis of life be the basis of your relationships, that your understanding of your quest and your understanding of another person's quest and their understanding of yours be the thing. That's the basis of the relationship. That's the basis of the understanding that you have. And I think that if you can stabilize your relationships, and it is likely to be plural because Aquarius is the sign involved, and there's always more than one of something in Aquarius. There's always more than one of something with Gemini too, but usually with Gemini there's two, and with Aquarius there can be any number of involvements, and that there be some contact with a wider circle of friends, that your relationship should not be isolated in any way. So these are some basic guiding principles. With Jupiter and Saturn in your ninth, the two planets, important planets, right, the two largest planets that rule your relationships, this is about actually being in the big world that you want to be in. It's about you knowing that you are you and everyone are one among many people. And if you have the occasion to share something special with someone, that you do that, and not project it into the future, not take it for granted, and not borrowing a line from Paul Simon, form an institute. The thing you want to establish is the most level, grounded, easygoing friendship that you can possibly think of. Now, this is as I suggested, the thing to love is where somebody is coming from, what their understanding of life is, and what you learn from their understanding of life. Very often the basis of relationship is some form of a material attachment or a set of expectations, and almost all of these, when you get involved in deep bonding, have been the product of family conditioning. And the very intense journey that you have been through, particularly since late 2017, peaking in early 2020, and then, like everything else that peaked in early 2020, gradually trailing off, is about independence from this structural oppression. In other words, you've got to be your own person. And that's one of the most important things that that all of this very rare, unusual, and beautiful Aquarius astrology is about. Now, as the year progresses, as 2021 progresses, there enters a new discussion of relationships, which is going to be about your professional life. Now, that is indicated by Jupiter making its first visit into Pisces in May. That will last briefly, and Jupiter will make a re-ingress into Aquarius, and there's this transitional time between May and then let's see when else in 2021. Saturn goes, Jupiter goes retrograde. Okay, so Jupiter goes retrograde on June 20th, right before the summer solstice, 12 hours before the summer solstice. Then goes direct in Aquarius. It re-enters Aquarius soon after that and goes direct in Aquarius in October. And so what I see happening with this is that the ideal thing for you to do is going to be to mingle, mix and match with people and really get the feeling of where people are coming from. Really give yourself time to get to know them before you commit to anything other than being a person who cares about them. And that the philosophical understanding, the spiritual understanding that you may cultivate with one or more people then is likely to evolve into some kind of a professional partnership experiment. And this, of course, will come with its own kinds of challenges, but it looks like that's what happens. It looks like that's where your energy is naturally going. And with your energy naturally going there, it would be wise of you to take all of the precautions for making sure that you actually understand who someone is before you are too deeply involved with them, before you start like thinking ahead too much, and really do your best to stay in the moment with people and notice and observe how they treat you and observe what they expect from you and notice what you find yourself expecting from them, what you find yourself offering to them, and all of that. Because the point of contact, the point where the relationship is likely to have some lasting purpose, right, where it's likely to take a form, which happens in is an experiment in the spring, in the early summer, and then late in 2021, that experiment takes another step. The point of commitment is likely to be around your professional intentions, your professional desires, and your building up your professional reputation, but more important, your responsibilities. And so for your sake, one of the most important things that you can select in a person is their commitment to supporting you fulfilling your responsibilities. This is, I get this is a kind of ideal conditions in a relationship, right? But at least if you know the criteria, at least if you are honest with yourself about what you need, and I would suggest this is a very important part of what you need, because your responsibilities and your professional ambitions and your intentions, first of all, have also not been particularly easy in any recent years, and they are going to continue to come under increased focus, first as Jupiter settles in to Pisces, and then in 2023 as Saturn settles in to Pisces. There's a lot here about you fully embracing your responsibilities, and this is more than to yourself, right? To yourself is important. You know, to yourself is a lot of other houses in the chart, but when we talk about the 10th, we're talking about a commitment to the wider society. We're talking about you taking up your role as a kind of a high officer, where you are responsible for something, and it may be you and only you are responsible for that thing, and it turns out to be a thing that is not that easy to be responsible for. And one of the reasons for this is because around the whole matter of commitment and responsibility, the world that we live in right now is an extremely fraught place. It seems as if people are doing anything that they possibly can to run from responsibility for the world and commitment for the world. It would seem to me that you have felt a profound sense of need, a truly spiritual calling to fix this, to bring a more humane approach to the world where people have responsibility, and then those, whatever they might be, individuals, organizations, companies, whatever, have to collaborate on that to make it possible to accomplish anything, has been very, very difficult. And in many ways, your chart exemplifies how difficult it's been, because we live in a time now where, for example, lying is an extremely casual activity, where it just seems as there's so few people who have a value on honesty. And also, while that is going on, there's this idea going around that whatever anyone does to get power, whatever anyone does to get power is perfectly acceptable, as long as they get the power. It's kind of like saying, well, money is good, therefore bank robbery is good. And I would say that this is completely precluded by your ethical framework. And the hearkening back a bit to the previous segment, the ninth house is all about this study in ethics. And one of the biggest problems that we see in the world is people wanting to have the power and privileges of the 10th house without having built the ethical foundation of the 9th house. And people want to build the ethical foundation of the 9th house without having gone through the trials and tribulations of the 8th house, where you have to deal with all of the unsavory ways that people get power and control over one another. And that whole agenda needs to be seen for what it is, and completely, if it can't be dissolved, it needs to be sidestepped. And that takes skill, it takes intelligence, and it takes being a very deft person when it comes to relating to others, and mostly it is about being your own advocate. It's mostly about making choices that you understand are for the greatest good of all concerned, and all includes you. That's important with Aquarius on the ninth house, and it would be fair to think in terms of what is actually going to work for you first as the first criteria, and then what is going to work for other people, rather than the normal way of doing it, which is to find out what works for other people first, at least in your chart and potentially in your experience, and then maybe finding out that it will work from you. And that's the perfect recipe for being co-opted. It's the perfect recipe for selling out. It's the perfect recipe for being compromised in some way. And you've been through too much to be compromised. You've been through too much to have anyone connive you in any way, shape, or form into selling out. Now, let's talk about your 10th for a second. 10th is one of these vitally important houses, particularly in Western culture, particularly in American culture, where what someone does and what they're known for is as important as any other factor of who they are. Right? We're the culture that says, hello, how do you do? What do you do? Right? It's not, how do you do? So what's going on? How's your day going? No, it's what do you do? And so we've got this what do you do culture. And in your 10th at the moment, right, this is the house of the big house of career, the house of responsibility, of reputation, and sometimes of power. You have Pisces on this house, and so your inclination is to take a much gentler approach to professional matters than other people. You are not the type to go to Harvard Business School. You're not the type to go to Harvard Law School. This is more the raw ambition kind of things to do with one's professional life. And that is not naturally appealing to you. You have Pisces on this house. You would be a good person to have a thriving arts career, or if you're the managerial type, to work with artists and be one of the few people who manages artists who doesn't steal from them. So there's an idealism involved in the in having Pisces on the 10th house, and it indicates, if nothing else, that your career must in some way be a spiritually grounded career. Your career must resemble Pisces in some way, and the world does not favor these careers. There's many more athletic scholarships than there are music scholarships, right? There's people are throwing money at people who can have gimmicky inventions more than they're throwing money at painters and sculptors, right? I'd like to see a show like Shark Tank. I mean, it would almost be a comedy. It would be like not quite the Gong Show. I want to see a show like Shark Tank where money is given to people based on their talent for creating beauty. It's not going to happen in this culture, because this culture has a weird relationship to anything that aspires to sensitivity, beauty, compassion, empathy, and the use of society to make beauty and to serve, to help people. And so another property of having Pisces on the 10th house is a deep intuitive movement to serve, that your work must actually serve. And there's not that many professions that do this, and many pretend to do it. And whatever it is you're doing, I would suggest emphasizing the service angle, making sure that you are using your resources and your power, such as you have it, to assist people who cannot necessarily afford the thing that you provide. This is always possible. It is always doable. The thing that prevents generosity, the thing that prevents charitability, is not that there's not resources available. That is not actually a problem of the earth. There's plenty of resources and so much money. No one even knows what to do with it. Right? When you think about this paltry amount of money being considered as like COVID relief of $2,000. Think about that. $2,000. Now, there's only going to be about a couple of hundred million people available for that $200,000, $2,000 each. We're not talking about a lot of money here. We're talking a very, very small one small bomb program. Some of these things are trillion-dollar fighter plane programs. So that's not about the resources not being there. It's about an attitude. It's about an attitude of, well, fuck you, basically, is what it comes down to. No part of your career can have that. No part of your professional life can have that. It's just not going to work for you. It's not going to make you happy. It's not going to make you successful. You might be very successful, but be unhappy, something like this. Or not quite succeed in what you're doing because you know that it's not the right thing. You got to find the right thing that brings together your passion for existence and your need to actually tangibly enrich or help, serve, or make more beautiful the lives of other people. Now, there has been a combination of factors in this 10th house over quite a few years, including an extreme idealism with Neptune there. That goes back almost 10 years now, incredibly. And then Nessus is there. And like Nessus can be the cockroach in the wedding cake, because Nessus is on the level that most of society takes Nessus. Nessus is just out for himself. And that can lead someone to think, well, anytime someone wants to succeed, anytime wants power, anytime someone wants any form of responsibility, ultimately, it's about themselves. And this is a sad state of affairs. This perception is a sad state of affairs. And the thing to remember is that what you never want is power for its own sake. That's just ridiculous. You should have power that facilitates your doing the things that you need to do. Right? So if you have a need, you should have a responsibility, an assignment, a mission, a purpose. You should have enough power, or a little, maybe just a little bit more, to get that done. And this is challenging, because usually the people who do that, right, the people who want to do something beautiful, right, who are on the side of the artists, and then also understand they can make a good living at it. They're few and far between. They are so few and so far between. But there's no other path that's going to work for you and have you be happy professionally. And what you have is a tremendous amount of cleverness around the work that you do. That cleverness, though, is fed by passion for getting the thing done. So the thing done is the thing that you have to live for, right? And when the thing done is the thing you live for, yeah, you're pretty freaking good at figuring out how to get there. Now, people are going to say, well, this is not possible, right? The world is so down and dirty and all this stuff. Well, yeah, it is. And then there are those who understand that that doesn't always have to be the case. And it in your situation can be a case of not on my watch. And so with movement eventually going toward your 10th house, right, as Pluto starts to get busy in your 9th in 2023, Saturn enters your 10th in 2023, that is a an extension and a completion of Jupiter going into your 10th in May for that brief visit in the mid-spring and early summer. It would be very wise of you to learn the ways of power and responsibility where you are the one who is in control. Excuse me, I'm hiccuping. Control of that power and responsibility where you are the one who are making decisions and where you learn how to trust yourself. You learn how to trust your decisions and you learn how to trust the basis on which you are making your decisions. Let's take a little break. Happy tune. Daniel Grimsland on bass, and yours truly on the electrical guitar. One of the great pleasures of my life has been succeeding in aspiring to being able to play that thing a little. I have Pisces on the 10th house, by the way. I consider myself a shining example of what you can do with Pisces on the 10th house. I'm the person who aspires to give everything away for free as much as possible and make the rest of it eminently affordable and accessible to people. And that is the ethic of Pisces, and beautiful, the ethic of Pisces on the 10th house. So let's talk a couple of other things here. You know, we've covered like some hardcore houses in your chart. I mean, houses 7 through 10 are a big deal in astrology, and they're not easy. And they are, there were a lot of people just trip and fall, especially what you've been through in the 8th house. Death, dowry, and the substance of the bride. That one, the place where you were largely oriented through very late in 2020. Okay, a couple of more things. One thing I want to talk about is the 11th house. I can't cover all the houses in this reading. I have, by the way, just finished the Aquarian era written reading for Gemini, so that is available. But let's talk about the 11th house, and then we're going to talk about Mercury retrograde in 2021. That's very exciting. I just looked at that for the first time in preparation for this work today. So one of the things that makes Gemini what it is, which is this affable person with a natural affinity for being a public person, is having Aries on the 11th house, the house of society, the house of your friends, the house of associating with others, the house where you gain many of the greatest benefits of life is in the 11th house. And it is also where you strive to find yourself. The reason you strive to find yourself there is because you've got Aries there, and wherever anyone has Aries, they strive to find themselves. And that's just a natural thing. And what has been happening in Aries in these recent years is that that it has been the scene of the theft of humanity by digital. So the digital realm has, in a sense, gone straight for the thing that makes humans human, and attempt to essentially package that and sell it back to us, or to theoretically allow us to use it for free like Facebook while swiping all of our personal data and mining our private messages for information that would tell the robot what to sell us. Gee, I wish I can get in on that, huh? No, actually, I don't. And what has happened in the past 20 years is that, in a sense, everyone has become a public person. This is not always true. In the very recent past, there was such a thing as a private person who no one had heard of and who did not have to answer to the public in any way, shape, or form. And with each passing phase of the internet, whether we're talking about, you know, internet 0, 1, 2, 3, whatever, wherever we happen to be now, people have become more public, more inside out, and therefore less private, more subject to public scrutiny. And a lot of this is mapped out by the astrology of Aries, and you have Aries in the 11th house. You are very sensitive to this. And one of the things that has happened that has kind of come in to bail us out of this, we'll see if it actually can, is Chiron. Chiron's a relatively new influence. Chiron was discovered in 1977, and in a very subtle way shifted, it looked like it was shifting the direction of astrology, but what I'm now thinking, you know, years after I explored that idea, that that Chiron's presence in Aries has at least opened up a potential for us to retain our humanity. Chiron's an interesting character because he's half horse, half human. But is the most poignant astrological symbol about being human. And the thing with the half horses is a reminder that we are animals, and we can't hold ourselves above the animals because we are an animal. And so this symbol of the humanity of people is so poignantly stated by Chiron because he's a reminder of our true nature. And so where Chiron's presence is a, if not a calling, a part of the kind of circuit of experience where we get run through a lot. And of course, we're all getting run through this crazy inside-out, no-privacy, public nature of reality all the time, but you are in a position to use that whole experience as a healing experience, to be a person who is available in the public realm, to be a person who is available to your friends. The 11th house, by the way, is not the wide general public, like 100,000 people at a football game, if that ever happens again, but rather your circle of friends and their circle of friends, like not a football stadium, but the people that you would meet at a close friend's big party. So you're going to know some of the people there, and then it's going to go out one or two circles. That's the 11th house, right? It's like your friends and their friends. And this is where you have a long, steady, meaningful mission. It is where you get to do some very positive and productive work. It is where you get to ride the tiger of this digital phenomenon and not be its victim. This is not easy because most people are turning into victims of digital rather than, digital artists, right? Rather than content creators, kind of lowers things a little bit, but I really mean artists in the digital realm, and you have a probe into this reality. Now, one thing that's quite unusual about your charts right now is that Chiron is in a conjunction to a point called Salacia, and I will place my article about Salacia onto the resources page. I've written one article, and it was a good one. I wrote it, and it was one of the last things I did right before we turned to planet COVID. I did a piece on Neptune and a piece on Salacia. They're related. They're consorts. And Salacia is about sexual maturity. It's not about salaciousness. There's nothing salacious about Salacia. It is also about standing out. So what is salient is what leaps. It's what stands out. The concept of Salacia has more to do with the salty quality of this goddess nymph named Salacia. And if we merge the theme of Chiron with the theme of sexual maturity, with the theme of self-actualization of Chiron in Aries, and we put it in the 11th house, we get a picture of you as a person who is someone who is available to people and conversant with people around this whole very sensitive, squishy, difficult, challenging topic of sexuality and sexual maturity in the world that has been turned inside out. There's no other time in history where you could scan through one website and watch live videos of like 2,000 people masturbating on camera for free. Any man, woman, child on the planet with a phone or a computer can do this. I am pretty sexually liberal, and I think that is fucking over the top wild. I can't even imagine. It's like, how did this get to be sometimes? But the truth is that the digital realm has blown us all inside out, whether you think it involves you or not, whether you participate in this directly or not. That's the world we live in. That's the environment we live in. That's the challenge that we face, is whether you do it or not. I think you probably don't, but who knows? Maybe you have all kinds of fun on this or some other type of service. Even if you don't do this, the thing is, we live in the world where this is happening and it is considered normal. And the purpose and meaning of Chiron conjunct Salacia in Aries is in Aries, first of all, is to ground your sense of your own being and your own inner being and your healing purpose as being one closely, intimately involved with maturity, and is the thing that most of our ancestors lacked. They acted like adults. They had wool coats and fur hats and good leather shoes and knew how to conduct themselves in public to a certain extent, but it doesn't mean they had actual maturity. It doesn't mean they could actually carry on the conversation. You seem to have this, I don't want to say ministerial role, but a certainly helping, healing, grounding role of being the person in your social group who's actually able just to simply conduct an honest conversation about sexuality. And that includes all facets of relationships, because sooner or later, most relationships as we think of them come back to some question of sexuality, and that question is not usually asked, and because it's not asked, it's not usually answered. But you, it would seem to me, my perception, again, my subjective reading of your chart, is that you at least can see what's going on in a way that others can't easily see what's going on. You have a perspective. I'm calling Chiron a probe into this reality. And this is can indicate a crucial informal social role for you. Usually the 11th is informal social roles. The 10th is more formal social roles, leadership and authority and being the president and having a certain nameplate on your desk. There's no nameplates in the 11th house. There's more name tags. Hello, my name is Bianca. And that's a good name for me. So you're in this kind of group environment, whatever environment it might be. It could be professional organizations. It could be your circle of friends. It could be activities on the internet. It could be whatever it might be. Likely to take on an informal role where you're the one doing the maturity work. You're the one who recognizes the environment, and you're the one who recognizes the as is appropriate to the sign Gemini, as the poet Robert Bly says, we live in the sibling society. And so there has to be an adult in the room, the sibling society. And your chart indicates that you have gone through layer upon layer with a few traumas mixed in, and maybe one or two personal triumphs that more resembled like getting out with your life than getting a trophy for anything. But still, you've been through them. You have been accruing maturity, and the time has come, particularly with the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction that happened a few days ago, to be able to really ground that maturity in the inside-out world where everyone is a quasi-public figure. Okay, let's briefly talk about Mercury retrograde. Every stitch, every minute of Mercury retrograde in 2021 happens in an air sign. I find this interesting. It's especially good for you because it means that Mercury is going to spend half the year in air signs, probably more. I would estimate, based on what I know about Mercury retrograde, we're looking at about 7 months. I haven't done the day count yet, but 7 months of Mercury's presence in air signs. That will work for you beautifully. The first Mercury retrograde occurs between January 30th and February 20th. That takes place in Aquarius. And so the whole first segment of this reading, the one about the humanitarian worldview, what your concept of religion is, being about humanity. You've got to believe in humanity. Go look up that song by Carole King, or I'll link it from this page. You embark on it. Your ruling planet, Mercury, is going to spend 2 months in Aquarius, where you actually get to bring yourself to this project. Let's get the date of the events, positions. Mercury enters Aquarius. Mercury enters Aquarius on January 8th, 2021. We're going to have a really wild ride in January of this year. And in any event, on January 8th, Mercury enters Aquarius, and it's going to stay there till the retrograde is over, and it enters Pisces on March 15th. So that's 2 months and a week that Mercury is going to be in your ninth house, where all of this action is, where you really get to get acclimated to what is what's going on now in your life. Okay, and this new phase, right? This is like a tour, freshman orientation of this new phase of your life. The second Mercury retrograde takes place in Gemini, your sign. And so it's going to traverse back from 24 degrees back to 16 degrees. And in doing that, it's going to highlight some of the most beautiful astrology in your sign, which is the planet Esbolus. And Esbolus, I've talked about this in many, many previous readings, is about moving from a state of surviving to a state of thriving. And one of the ways you move from the state of surviving to the state of thriving is really hanging out with the common ground you share with people. In fact, you know, common ground could be an awesome title for this reading. I'm not titling them, I don't think. But I'm going to add it to the chart. You'll see it in pencil up there. Common ground is the thing that you find with Esbolus. The word means carbon dust, and the common ground of carbon is all living things have it in common. So that takes place from 529 through 622. Add a margin for the shadow phases and you know, Mercury's time in the sign without being retrograde or anywhere near it. Okay, next one is in September, late September through mid October, and this is the artistic experiment that's kind of warming you up for Jupiter in Pisces of Mercury in the fifth house. This is a fantastic time to experiment. I think of these Mercury retrogrades, especially for you, as opportunities to explore and to experiment, opportunities to find the ways to be free to do the thing that you want to do. And this is what this is what you get with Mercury in the fifth house. And it's about figuring out what you want and learning how to take the creative risk to make the thing that you want. And so each of these Mercury retrogrades comes with a kind of experiment to it. The one coming up in January through February is about your philosophical orientation being reestablished in this house of humanitarian faith. And then this personal quest around the time of your birthday from 529 through 622. So Mercury is going to be right in there stirring the pot and encouraging you to figure out why you feel and how you feel and how to take that leap from surviving to thriving. There's a way to do this. It's a way to approach life. And then the extension of that is Mercury in the fifth house in Libra going retrograde. And remember that for you, the true nature of the artistic experiment is the experiment in beauty. It's the experiment in finding the beauty in yourself and remembering that's the thing that you express, whether we're talking about your humanitarian leanings, whether we talk about your role in the community as a healer, whether we talk about just being yourself, whether we talk about you as an artist, creative person. It's all about beauty. Your chart says this over and over again. I know the books all say that Gemini is about lots and lots of words. Yeah, not only that. You find your peace of mind. You find your grounding on the planet. You find your purpose. You find love when you orient your whole being on beauty, remembering that you have to be the thing that you see. You be the thing that you become. You become what you create. That, for now, is what I have to say to you. Thanks for listening. Check out your rising sign, if it's not Gemini. Lots of love. And bye for now. Thank you.
this audio?
Is that, that was the other guy? I don't know, we should ask.
Maybe we can get it too.
Yeah, that would be great. That's a good point. I will test it. And can you play on Friday?
Yes, please say where the recording is going to post it.
Put a chair over here and a chair over there. Yeah. Listen to me. You don't need it for your
walk.
This comes down.
Go down. How many needs this chair? 15 seconds. Yes.
Here's your script.